All right, we are in C++ AMP world with the great Daniel Moth. How are you doing, man?
Good, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing great. So I'm sure people have read your blog. You have several blog posts and you've really excellent stuff. We wanted to come here today and kind of learn more about C++ AMP. Now, people have seen your presentation, I would imagine, on Channel 9. If not, they should.
They should.
The one you gave at AMD. But I wanted to come here and kind of just like step back a little bit and say, what's going on here? What is C++ AMP and why did you do it? Can we start there?
Yeah, we can start there. So I won't even assume that people have seen the presentation from Build.
Great.
So if you want to actually, have a whole hour presentation, then by all means, you can go and get the Build session and watch that.
Okay.
So why did we do a C++ AMP? So by seeing what it is, you can see why we did it. And the first thing that is obvious that it does is it lets you take advantage of the GPU. And in fact, why don't I start writing these down so there is
Okay.
like a little summary for everyone in the end. So point one is taking advantage of the GPU. So the GPU is a very good data parallel processor, so a number cruncher, if you like. So if you have data parallel algorithms with a lot of data and you do numerical operations, that's a prime candidate of an algorithm to offload to the GPU. It can crunch it much faster than what a CPU could. Then you get the results back on the CPU and you continue with your application. So you have a CPU application taking advantage of the GPU. C++ AMP lets you do that.
Excellent.
So that's like the number one point. Then I would say number two is that it's cross-vendor. So this is not an API that you have to use a specific GPU from a specific vendor. Rather, you can use a GPU from any vendor. So we just require that there is a DirectX 11 driver, which most GPUs have these days, and then C++ AMP can take advantage of that piece of hardware. Then another important point to make is that it's actually open specification.
Okay.
So by the time that C++ AMP goes out, it will actually be so we'll have the open specification by the time this video goes out, so people can download it and read it, but also other compiler vendors and hardware vendors can take it and implement it and actually offer it even on other platforms. So these were some of the points which drove us to create C++ AMP, where we're seeing that there wasn't another offering out there that could do that today. But maybe the key one was that we're looking here at a modern C++ API. So this is not a C dialect, which other approaches have, like HLSL from Microsoft. This is about modern C++. So when you use the C++ AMP API, you'll actually see that you don't have to do your own memory management. That's been taken care of for you. You don't have to use a whole bunch of global stateless functions that take a million parameters. You use Lambda, so you use modern C++ 11 constructs. And it's a minimal API. So that would be another point. It's not just a modern C++ API, it's a minimal API. So there's just a few constructs that we added, and we added them in like an STL library, if you
Good.
like. So it's a data parallel STL-like API. And I think that's an important point here, which is it's not a GPU API. I started with that. But actually, it's a data parallel API, not a GPU API. It just happens that you can take advantage of the GPU today. But what it does is it future-proofs against hardware that we've yet to see. Because obviously, at Microsoft, with all the partnerships we have with all the hardware vendors, we see what's coming, and we're seeing GPUs coming closer to CPUs, CPUs getting capabilities like GPUs, other kinds of data parallel hardware coming out. And we wanted to create a data parallel API that future-proofs, protects your coding investments for the future. So even though today, in this first release, it's about GPU, you'll see that how we'll evolve it over time, and you won't have to change how you interact with the programming model. And that future-proofs your investments for the
Interesting.
future.
Interesting. So, can we talk about that just a little bit, though? I mean, in some sense, today you have the restrict and then direct 3D, right?
Restrict
Or
AMP,
direct
yes.
restrict AMP, exactly. So, dig a little bit more into the future-proof stuff. So,
Okay. So, first let me add that point you just made there, which is that we have one plus one language feature. So, I was talking about an API, but you just, let the cat out of the bag there that we do have a couple of language features that we added. So one of the language features that we added is restrict. So what you can do with with C++ AMP that ships in Visual Studio 11, so as soon as you install Visual Studio 11, you get the Visual C++ compiler, and you'll find in there the ability to add the restrict keyword, like the annotation, after your lambdas or functions. And so lambdas are functions. And then here you can put restrict amp, or you could do restrict CPU, or a combination of the two. So when you put restrict CPU, it's as if not putting anything. So all your code, when you take it and recompile it with a Visual C++ compiler in Visual Studio 11, automatically you can think of it as having restrict CPU. So really we've added one option, which is you can say restrict amp on a lambda that you pass to a parallel for each, which is one of our functions that I'll talk about in a second. So when you do that, it checks that you're using the subset of the C++ language that is AMP compatible. So we have defined a subset of the language, which means that you use concepts and constructs of the language that are amenable to data parallelization. So you don't use things that would actually hinder probably parallelization. We didn't emulate things that don't work well on the GPU, and instead we defined this language syntax. So this mostly comes from the DirectX restrictions that we build on, although we've worked around some of them, but it's really just a language subset. In the future, as the hardware evolves, we could actually extend this, and we could you know, say that we have restrict AMP too, and now we have relaxed the restrictions. So just by changing that annotation, you can change what you do in the lambda that you've decided to execute on the GPU. Another way that we future-proof is via the copies. So obviously when you're talking about a discrete GPU device, it has its own memory. So what you have to do is copy your data from the host to the discrete GPU, and then do a computation, and then copy it all back. So we kind of abstract that from you a bit by using the ArrayView type. So so ArrayView of integer, for example, 2, so two-dimensional so a matrix in that occasion. So what you do is you wrap your data in this ArrayView type, and then wherever you use the data through the ArrayView, it gets copied for you, if there is a requirement for it to be copied. So if you are on a hardware where there's shared memory, for example, and there's no need for a copy, then by having the ArrayView, you've never had to write copy in your code, so that's how you you protect yourself going forward. So these are two angles of the of what we're offering, of the technology, where one on the language, we make it easy to relax the restrictions and have a versioning story going forward, and on the data transfer, if it's not needed, then of course you don't have to work with it. And when if I show you like a Hello World example of, C++ AMP, you'll see that you never have to set up devices and talk to, you know, am I talking to this GPU? Or it's not at that level. It's a data parallel API. It's a higher level abstraction, which even has a fallback to run on the CPU through multi-core and SSC, which, you know, is not a GPU at that point, which kind of proves the point that it's a data parallel API that runs on it. So that's kind of like some of the points here. And I think we just mentioned, I mentioned earlier about Visual Studio. So I think that's a key part of why we did this as well, which is you get the tight integration with Visual Studio and all the productivity, the debugging, the profiling, you know, the intelligence, everything that you know about Visual Studio, and it gets better in each release, C++ AMP is part of it. You install Visual Studio, you don't need any other tools. You don't need a special compiler switch to work with AMP. You don't need a special environment variable, another download. You need nothing. You install Visual Studio, write some code, compile, you're running on taking advantage of the GPU or anything else in the future. So that was a key proposition as well. So that's kind of like some of the points about it and the reason we created this technology, because no other technology out there would satisfy all of these points that we have here. The last one being, you know, Hello World, you know, fits on half a page. So, you know, that's that's actually one of the things we wanted to achieve. So you don't have to write, you know, four or five pages for just a Hello World, which you will see in other approaches. So
sure,
yeah.
Well, hey, I mean, and it's nice. And of course, the obvious thing here, you know, is that it, as you said, modern C++, it's the first true C++ API for GPGPU. Yes.
Yes, we think so.
Because I think you have, you know, with open. The open star stuff, you have C.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you have dialects with C.
OpenCL.
Yeah.
Excellent, man. And this is not a dialect. This is C++ with one extension.
Right. It's a one key new language feature.
Restrict.
Restrict. We do have, in the interest of transparency, the second, that's why I said 1+1.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
is another language feature, which is the tile static, which is a new storage class. So when you are working with GPUs or hardware that have, in addition to global memory and registers, they also have another tile static memory, like a programmable cache, essentially. For that, we allow you to declare variables as tile static. And that's the second language feature. But this is only applicable within a tiled parallel for each So it's not as prominent as the one key new language feature, as you said.
Okay. And now there has to be some sort of, is the PPL underneath all of this, or concert, or talk to me about, I mean, because I know looking at code samples, there's parallel for each,
uh-huh.
right? That comes right from PPL.
Right.
So when you say that, so for today, PPL runs only on Windows, right?
Yeah, PPL runs on Windows, but with the partnership of TBB with Intel, that's the way it gets on Linux as well. So you can use PPL knowing that, hey, if I want to run another platform, there is an API-compatible way for me to do it.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah, so with PPL, so we in Visual Studio 2010, it's the same team, essentially, that created the Parallel Patterns Library and the Concurrency Runtime, and they introduced the concurrency namespace. And which was in various header files of theirs, and all of the stuff we're doing is also in the concurrency namespace. Mm. But it is in since it's a separate library, we have it in another header file. So amp.h is what you need to include. You use the concurrency namespace, and as you mentioned, PPL introduced parallel for each, which allows you to work with achieve data parallelism on the CPU. And we added an overload to parallel for each in the same namespace that actually works in a way that you take advantage of the AMP library and take advantage of a GPU and massively data parallel hardware. Mm. So it's kind of that's how the two blend together.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, since you made this announcement, I guess it was, 6 months ago now?
It was last year. Yeah, you're right.
It was last year, June.
It was June when we announced this at the keynote at the AMD Fusion. So Herb Satter, the architect on C++ and a member of the ISO committee of C++, announced it. There was a lot of excitement in the room.
Yeah.
I did a presentation that's up on Channel 9, and we've had tremendous interest in C++ AMP.
That's awesome. So, I mean, what kind of feedback have you been getting? What have people been using it with in the real world?
Uh-huh.
Like, I know they must have found some bugs, but what else have they done? Like, wow, that's an interesting use for this. It actually does work, or maybe we need to rethink something.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk about the feedback you're getting from the
real
world.
Yeah, so, and I have to be careful here, because what we did was we announced the technology. We didn't have bits to give. We just announced the technology. It was just the right timing. And then the bids came 3 months later, 2-3 months later. And in that meantime, in that window, we had a lot of people contact us and say, this is amazing, this is exciting, I've got a project I'm using right now. I was evaluating this other technology, X, Y, whatever, but what you have is exactly what I want. I want a C++ API, I want the great support I'm going to get through Visual Studio and Microsoft, the cross-hardware thing, you know, they just wanted all of that.
Mm.
And with the demand that we had, they actually forced us to start a TAP program, a technology adoption program, just for C++ AMP. So we actually gave compiler bits only. It wasn't even Visual Studio. So command line, people working at the command line starting to work on projects, and we got a number of them. And we start supporting them, and we support them through today. And what we're going to do is we're going to turn those into case studies as we move forward.
Mm.
So I have to be careful because I don't want to talk about what they're doing because obviously I have to protect their the NDA we have with them like they have with us
fair enough.
Give them stuff. But you will see case studies in this area. The feedback we've been getting is we've massaged the API and some of the feedback is reflected in some changes that are coming in the beta, which are not big. A lot of performance improvements that we've done by having specific workloads to try against.
Great.
And some other stuff that I'm not going to go into
here.
But yeah, we're getting great feedback on that front.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent, man.
Yeah. What's exciting is that with the Visual Studio 11 beta, which is probably out when this video goes out, there's a go-live license, which means you can actually get Visual Studio 11 and use the in production so you can actually use code for real, knowing that after that, we're not going to break in terms of API changes and you're going to have proper support in terms of us responding to any issues that you face.
Awesome.
So it's a great time to pick this up.
Excellent. Now, one question I have for you is you had mentioned earlier that you have to get the memory from one area to another. And so in other words, I'm running an application that's basically CPU bound. Let's pretend like my application is doing that. I then want to offload some big computations or whatever using AMP, right?
Right.
So it just so happens that the data that I have is living closer to my CPU than to my GPU.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to get it efficiently over to where the CPU can or the GPU can do its thing.
Right.
So that's my question. Now you mentioned briefly ArrayView.
Mm-hmm.
That's a template that lets you, right?
Yeah, so basically ArrayView is your way that you're going to get the data to the GPU.
And I don't have to worry about how it's being done or how efficient it is?
There are ways for you to say, hey, you know what, this data, I want you to copy it there, but I don't need to copy it back. So don't bother paying that price as well. Mm. Or, you know, this data here, actually, it's going to be populated, but you don't need to copy it in to start with, you know, because I'm not going to use it. So you discard whatever I have in this data structure when it goes there. Mm. So you can do those kinds of indications to say that, you know, to optimize the transfer. Mm. But beyond that, there's not much more you can do. In fact, that data transfer with discrete devices today, with discrete GPUs, is where you pay a lot of the penalty, which is why not all data parallel algorithms are amenable to parallelization on the GPU. Sometimes the time it takes to copy over the PCIe bus, that time is just not worth you. It's not going to be amortized by running the kernel. And for those cases, you know, just use PPL and the parallel for each there, and you'll be able to run on the CPU and multicore and hopefully get perf gains that way.
Excellent. Yeah. Now you said the key word, kernel. Now, in sort of GPU programming, a kernel is where essentially you have all of your code that's going to target one execution core, right?
It's going to target the device. That. Yeah, so kernel is interesting because everybody, someone encounters that, it's like, oh, kernel. You know,
it's what, not what? The kernel. Yeah, okay.
Right, and all it is, it's a function. Right, and we just like saying kernel thing just to appear smart or something. I'm not sure why the industry does that, but they do. So we're not, you know, breaking that terminology there. So essentially, what you do is you have your parallel for each. Mm-hmm. So let's write here some code, or shall I? Yeah, let's write here. So I'm just gonna, you know, abbreviate it. So you have your parallel for each. Mm-hmm. You pass in here as the first parameter an instance of an extent, and that basically says how many threads do you want to schedule on the GPU. So you're in control of the scheduling of the threads. Mm. And you can say here, you know, a million, you know, you just say how many threads you want and not worrying about, you know, almost not worrying about context switching or creation or distraction of these threads because they're extremely lightweight. That's the beauty of the GPU. Some people don't even call them threads because they're not, you know, they're so lightweight. So you say how many you want to schedule. Then you go and you have a lambda which takes an index as the only parameter, so I'm running out of space here. So let's say it's a two-dimensional one.
Okay.
And then here, I'm going
to... You can move over to the
other. I think we should move over to the other
side. Yeah. So we can do that.
Have we got the technology? Here we
yes.
are. Right, so let's go again. So we have the parallel for each. You got your extent instance in here. And then you have your lambda. So here I'm capturing by value, probably an array view. That would be the meaningful thing. And then here, I have an index, and let's say it's one-dimensional. So, and then we put the restrict amp, so we must put that. And then here comes the lambda, the body. And in here I put my code that uses IDX, which you can think also as the thread ID, and it uses that to go into some array view. So if I had an array view here, and that's going to have to be one-dimensional since I made that one-dimensional. Let's say it's of integers, A. And here I gave it a vector, for example. So this is where I gave the data. I wrapped it with the array view. And then I come in here, and I use the array view to access something. And my data now has been copied to the GPU. Then I use the array view out here to access it. You know, I can access some other elements and do something with it before or after. Now the data has been copied to the CPU. So what happened here? This lambda body is what I refer to as the kernel. It's a function. So this piece of code you wrote here is the piece of code that's going to execute on the GPU. And this is going to be called as many times as you told it. And every time it gets called, it's going to receive a different value of index. So you can index and work with data, one or more. You can capture as many as you want. So you can see that in the API itself, the entry point to C++ AMP, the parallel for each, you do not specify the data. The data is what you capture in, and that's the beauty of using lambdas here, because you can capture exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. And then when you go and use the data after the execution is completed, the transfer happens for you on demand. So that's the on demand that I was talking about earlier. If I wanted to say, just to close the loop there, that this data I only wanted to be copied in, there's never going to be a need to copy it out, I can actually say const int here in the array view, and I've just said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to be using this afterwards, so, you know, do your best, just copy it in once, do whatever techniques under the covers that work for you. So this gives you the answer to the kernel. The kernel is just the body of the Lambda, or if I had a functor here, it'd be that functor that is the thing that gets executed on the GPU as many times as you've told it to.
Okay.
Right. So from here, you can call other functions, of course. So it's not just that everything doesn't have to fit in here. So when you call the other function, that function also has to have the restrict amp. And that's why you have that there. Otherwise, if you could only do stuff in here, there was no need to introduce restrict amp, because by definition, we know this has to run on the GPU, so we could check for the restrictions that we have in here. But you can call any other functions, and restrict amp participates in overloading, so you could have functions differentiating themselves only by the restriction, and that's like a key design point. That's why we introduced that. So in this little pseudocode here, you can see our enter point parallel for each, the key data structure, a wrapper, think of it as a smart pointer, as an alias to your original data. And you can see the restrict amp that will check for restrictions, such as you can't capture pointers in here, you can't use recursion here, and we have on our blog all the restrictions that that apply.
Excellent. So people will definitely read that.
So the two places that we encourage people to go is our team blog. Blogs, msdn.com, native concurrency. And we'll post this with a channel line video. And the other is our forum, where the entire product team monitors that and answers a question on MSDN. Those are the two key URLs if you want to get engaged in this technology.
Excellent. Talk to me a little bit about the developer experience. Because you guys are doing a lot of abstraction.
Right.
You're making this seem like, yeah, okay, so the Lambda is the kernel. Okay, great. That we can understand that.
Right.
Because that's the code that executes on a specific
accelerator.
Thread. Accelerator, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So just talk to me about a little bit how developers need to maybe just tweak their mindset a little bit when going this direction.
Sure. So I think that what we have is what we call the simple model of C++ AMP. It's very palatable. And you were asking earlier about the feedback. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets it straight away.
Cool.
And they get coding straight away, and they see some performance gains, and they're happy, and life is good. Then they want to take it to the next level. Some of them, not everybody, people stop there, but some people want to take it to the next level, you know, and get like 100x instead of, you know, just 50 times faster than what a serial CPU implementation would be. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about those kinds of numbers, right? So you had an implementation that wasn't using multicore. I said it was just a serial CPU implementation. You use AMP, it gets 50 times faster.
Nice.
You can just stop there. But some people want to go 100% fast, 100 times faster, right? And all depending on the algorithm. They have to drop to what we call the tiled model. So that's where you have to start understanding a bit more about the GPU and understanding a bit more about how threads are actually scheduled and where the indices are a bit more complex. And without going into it in this short interview, I'm just going to say that instead of the parallel for each taking an extent, it would take a tiled extent. Mm. Instead of you receiving an index, you receive a tiled index. And then within the kernel itself, you can now use tile static memory, which I hinted at earlier, which means that now you're using really fast access to memory. So you have to manage your own cache. You're programming your own cache at this point. And you can also use, from the tiled index, if you named it like that, you can get a barrier, so the tile barrier. And use weight on that to synchronize threads within a tile, because you're going to schedule threads in a tile. So this just throws some words out there, really, without explaining all the nitty-gritty. We'll have screencasts and we have blog posts and stuff like that in this area. But these are just additional types that allow people that, you know, that are not general purpose, want to take it to the next level, to learn about, you know, how to work really at the lower level of the hardware. But you don't have to start there. That's the beauty. You can actually start with a simple model where, you know, extent, you can think of, so let me create an extent so it's not mysterious if someone hasn't seen it. I would say a one-dimensional extent, E, and I would say 100. Done. So I'm just saying, you know, there's 100 threads is what I want you to schedule here.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. It's a very simple type. The beauty is that if I said it's two-dimensional, then, you know, I can go and create like that, and now it wraps the sizes in a multidimensional manner into a single type. So very simple. So I give it a very simple type here. Work with array view, which, you know, again, it takes an extent itself. And then, you know, let's say I had a vector v and that's it. I've got an array view now. Access it easily using the index object, as you can see here. So it's very simple concepts. Mm. It really is. As long as you have a data parallel algorithm where each, imagine a for loop basically, or a double nested for loop, whatever, and you actually have each iteration being dependent on every other, you have a data parallel algorithm there. As long as you're doing enough in the body, that will amortize the cost of copying the data across, and you're done. You start there, get a performance improvement. You want to take it to the next level, you drop down to using these constructs.
Excellent. Now, the last question I will ask you, because when this became available, just so happened that so did Metro in Windows 8.
Yes.
And, of course, that sort of forces you into a model of advanced COM with AdRef release memory management for you. How does this work in that world?
This works great in that world. So with C++ AMP, one of the other goals, and, you know, thanks for that question. I think I might add it to my list here. It's about C++ AMP everywhere. So whether you're on a client desktop machine, whether you're on a server machine, you know, whether you're on a Windows HPC server, whether you're in a cluster in the high performance computing space, you know, the cloud if Windows Azure gets GPUs, or in the Windows 8, as you mentioned, the Metro size of the tablets, C++ AMP is applicable. Because wherever the Visual C++ compiler can go, C++ AMP can go. So when you create a new Metro-style application for Windows 8, absolutely you can use C++ AMP in there. It's all part of our test matrix. It's part of what we support. And I'm looking forward, actually, to seeing what people can do, you know, in kind of virtual reality kind of things. Imagine you got your tablets pointing the camera, acquiring an image, and then doing some heavy computation and displaying something else to the user that's, you know, augmented reality kind of things.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely it's applicable. There. It's applicable everywhere, and that's what we want to do. We want to take it to every platform, which again, part of the open spec, even platforms that Microsoft does not own. We want it to be absolutely everywhere. Our goal is to democratize, as we say, the access to data parallel hardware through a modern C++ minimal API. That's what we're trying to do.
Awesome. Hey, great to come and talk to you. And I'm looking forward to your screencast on Channel 9. I mean, you do amazing work there.
I promise I will do that. Thank you very much.
Good. And we're going to go dig in pretty deep with various other people over the next few days.
More people on the team would get in front and open the boxes of the high level that I touched.
Excellent. Well, thank you, because I think it's crystal clear.
Thanks, Jeff.
Cheers.
Bye.